This week's episode of Still Untitled is made possible with support from Microsoft Surface, introducing the new Microsoft Surface Laptop 3. With its beautiful touchscreen, you'll experience stunning graphics with razor-sharp resolution, now available with a 13.5 or 15-inch screen. And with the latest processors, there's no project that the Surface Laptop can't handle. It's both light and powerful, so you can get more done on the go. Visit surface.com/laptop3 to learn more. That's surface.com/laptop3.
Welcome to Still Untitled, the Adam Side Project. I'm Will.
I'm Adam.
And I'm Norm.
Well, hello, everybody.
Settling in here. Yeah. It's a regular thing.
It's going to be a regular from the bunker every time.
Hold on.
I need a new chair. That's what I've realized over the past 2 weeks of doing this and doing multiple podcasts. I don't have a good... I'm sitting on a stool. Uh-huh. And a stool.
That's terrible.
It's a terrible idea really for a long podcast. It is very uncomfortable. It's not good for my back. So,
no.
Yeah.
Looking for chairs that don't have a big presence behind because I don't want to look like Will. I'm not a fan of the big office chair.
Yeah.
I like to have something a little bit visible. I like to have a little bit of a headrest too. So,
my office chair at home is a Herman Miller desk chair, one of the ones with the chrome frame and the ribbed leather that goes down. Mm. It's the one that every hotel in the world buys the ripoff version of.
Yeah.
For their and desk.
The reason I don't like those chairs is I don't like armrests either.
Oh.
I like a stool because I can cross my legs, I can move around. Like the armrest, it gets in the way.
Yeah. See, I need the armrest. I love armrest. I gotta have it. I've got a steel case gesture and I've got full arm articulation. They go up, they go down, they go in, they go out, they pivot. I can lean back, I can lean forward. It's all the, look, it's a command
too
site station.
Too much range of motion, too many this, notes.
These are all new considerations as we're now into the third week of this new normal. For those of us in the Bay Area, it was just announced this morning, we're going to be doing this for till, you know, end of April, beginning of May. So that's why I'm thinking about things like chairs.
Did you see that work from home supplies are now like webcams? Webcams are going for $250 to $300 on eBay now because the bottom has fallen out of the webcam market or supply.
Oh my God. People.
Adam, are you feeling okay?
You're coughing a lot over there, buddy. Well, we had a couple of rainstorms this weekend, and this morning, like clockwork, we had a nice pollen bloom. And even though I took a Claritin, my nose has been a leaky faucet all day long.
I've been hitting the Flonase real hard this week. It's real exciting stuff down here at the Smith household.
Just kicking my ass.
Oh,
hard to get any work done while you. I mean, and my nose will just be raw tonight.
Yeah,
yeah.
Will, what is your strategy for your beard? Are you going to grow it out as a quarantine beard? It's not a judgment thing. I'm curious.
So. Last week would have been the week that traditionally, if I was on my business, I would have gone to get the haircut. So the hair is getting higher I'm going to look like Conan O'Brien another week or two. And the beard, for a while, I thought I was going to do like a mask trim so I could just suction the mask onto the clean skin area down the middle. But at this point, I'm just not ever leaving the house again, it seems like. So it doesn't matter really what my beard looks like. I've been doing light oil and a brush after a shower, lest it be a frizzy Grizzly Adams beard because it is large. And unfortunately, my trimmer doesn't have things big enough for where I'm at now, so I have to freehand it.
Excuse me. I was really lucky in that 3 weeks ago I did an appearance for one of the cable networks, not Discovery, but I did an appearance on a show. And because I was heading down to LA to be on television for the first time in a while, I actually managed to snake in an appointment with my hairdresser, nice. Marion. And so she gave me a haircut 2.5 weeks ago. It's like I got a haircut 4 days before we all went under.
That's really good.
That's good timing. Yeah. I mean, if we anticipate this lasting, you know, it's going to be over a month, maybe 2 months. At some point, depending on how regularly you normally get your haircut, you know, for me, it's about once a month. You're going to have to make a choice. Do you let it, you grow it out and just have it be the signifier of the quarantine time? Or do you start watching YouTube videos and have your partner work on it?
Oh, right? No.
Don't make Danica do that to you, Norm. It's a bad idea.
No, because she'll enjoy messing you up. She wants to learn.
No, she wouldn't do that.
No. It's not that she would delight in screwing Norm up, but she would consider it a learning exercise because she likes learning new skills, and she would use Norm as her hairdressing doll, and it might not work. It's anybody's guess.
I've got the idea here. This is a billion dollars. I hesitate to put this out of the podcast because it's such a fantastic idea. We need to repurpose some of your spacesuits, get the hairdressers in them, and bring people in one cleanup at a time. They can wear the Mercury helmet in the background. They'll be totally clean. Everything's going to be great. We can all get nice, good haircuts. We'll look good.
I'll tell you, I've been surprised in my grooming habits during the sheltering in place, and that I'm shaving every morning.
And my dad stopped shaving for the first time in 30 years, and it's terrifying.
Well, look, I mean, because I was on a TV show where I had over Christmas, I usually had 3.5 weeks off. I would grow a break beard like celebrities do when they have shows and they have to keep groomed. And I delighted in like, oh, it's my break beard. And now I'm like, I don't want to get into staying up till 2 a.m, sleeping till noon kind of thing. And all this falling apart. So I've been really like assiduously waking up at 9 every day and shaving every single day.
No, it's like putting on real pants. It's part of the routine. Right. I think I've decided, sweats are great for that's actually how I'm differentiating between the weekend and non-weekend. Sweats on weekend, real pants. Thanks, Will, for showing
I'm wearing
us.
Pants, guys. I'm wearing pants.
But yeah, it's those little things.
No matter what day it is, that I'm wearing Bloodstones, blue jeans, and black shirt. Every single day. All day long.
I haven't worn a non-elastic waistband in about 14 days at this point, probably. So
nice. We went to ground, I think, 3 days before they called it. So yeah, this is like day 17 or 18 for us.
Yeah, I think Gina said we're at 24, 25 today. I can't remember.
Wow.
How have your other, at this point, like body changes? Like, are you eating better? Are you, feeling
I've
like
I've lost 5 pounds.
Without
all that restaurant butter, because we ate out a lot beforehand, I find that Julia will make a beautiful chicken salad or something delightful in the fridge that you can eat for a few days. And I'll be like, for dinner, I'll put some chicken salad on a piece of toast and split it. And like, that's suddenly fine for dinner with a snack later on. And that's probably half the amount of calories I normally eat.
I didn't realize how much, I didn't realize how much salt and butter we were eating in the food that we were buying at restaurants. And I also didn't really appreciate how much our lunches are hard, it turns out. Because most of our lunches, I mean, we have a 7-year-old sweet lunch every day.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Otherwise. But like,
God. A lot Damn of our stuff kid.
Bread is bread dependent, right? So we're like,
yeah.
Like we have 1 week of sandwiches. And then week two, we're like, what are we going to do for lunch today? Oh, let's do yogurt parfaits today because granola keeps for a long time. And I mean, we're trying to do groceries every other week just so we don't put unnecessary trips out and or load on delivery systems and all that stuff. So
I find it's the opposite for me. I'm snacking more, and there's a direct relationship between how much news I'm reading and how much candy I'm having and chocolate.
Oh,
and that's sorry, bad.
No. Yeah. I am eating my feelings at night. Certainly having snacking up on the sugar. Hold on. I do have one interesting physical change, which is that Julia pointed out.
Just to be clear, all this coughing and sneezing is making me very anxious, Adam. If you could cool it with the allergies, that would be great. Okay. So
I wish I could. I'm hiding a zombie bite is what it feels like.
Yeah.
So
you're clean, Julia, right, man? You're clean. Tell totally me you're clean.
Julia points out, I'm holding into the coming into the camera. She points out that there's like this that my brow now. A little bit of a furrow in my brow that wasn't there before.
Wow.
And yeah, she's like, it's really intense because you are a light person. You have a certain approach to the world. She said, for the last 2+ weeks, it's been a little darker, and that's been a real change.
We talked about this a little bit last week, but Gina and I have stopped talking about anything news related after 9 o'clock now. And
that's really good.
I am like, if I pick up a screen after 9 o'clock, it's to play a game or to do a crossword puzzle or to read a book.
Oh, not, you know, my screen time thing this week said that I'm down to only like 18 hours a day.
Yeah. My screen time, let's see, the first week we were inside, my screen time was the highest it's ever been at like,
yeah.
Like, it was like, you've gone up 92% this week. Congratulations. Yeah,
exactly.
And I'm gradually working my way back down to my pre-shelter in place numbers. So, hey, what's that on your finger, Adam?
Oh, this?
Oh, wow. Wow. Family show, man.
So, I tweeted about this over the weekend. I had an accident here in the shop on Friday. We're recording this on Monday, so accident plus three. Did you see that tweet storm I put out, Will?
I saw the tweet, but I figured we'd probably talk about it. So I did not read it. I did not read
that. All right. Well, then here you go.
Coming in cold.
Yeah. Friday, I was not sure what to work on. And I remembered that my lathe has had this problem. My lathe has about 11 dials that change different parts of its speed. And the main dial for the spindle speed has four settings. Well, eight settings, but four on the primary arm. And I lost one. Like, I could get it into three settings, but not all four. And it's been like,
a transmission thing where it has like a transmission side and the gears to spin it? Okay.
Exactly. And there's a, you know, and it looks actually similar to a car transmission, albeit smaller. And I lost one of my gears. And so I thought, okay, you know what, Friday, I'm going to take a chance and solve this problem, which involved like removing all the cabinetry from around the lathe and then unpacking and popping off the top, which hadn't been popped off in 20 years because it had been restored. And so I'm like literally cracking through a layer of Bondo in order to get to it. And I open it up and I look down into this oil-filled gearbox. And I realize, oh, that is nothing but a meat grinder. And so I go over to the main breaker box of the cave and I turn off the breaker to the lathe so that I can put my hands inside of it and work inside. I spend about 90 minutes moving stuff back and forth, using a flashlight, taking measurements, trying to figure out why I've lost this gear. And then I see it.
I was going to say, is this something that like you open this up and you look at it and you're like, okay, I see how this works. Or is this something where you're like changing dials on the front and looking to see what happens inside and like looking where things connect and figuring it out?
It's basically, I'm looking at the main linkage for the dial that's got the problem and I'm moving it and I'm watching what's happening. And now I'm sort of getting the gears to touch and see, there's a space where there probably shouldn't be. And then what I see on the other side is that this bearing, which should be seated into a cast iron wall, is now like half the way out of that wall. So there's a half inch of extra space. And that's what's caused my. So now I'm tasked with pressing a bearing back in when I only have access to it from 12 inches above and I can't actually hammer it. I mean, I'd have to drill a hole in the side of my cast iron casing, which is definitely something I might do to then plug it back up. But I think about a bunch of different options and I eventually weld and manufacture a little plate that goes in and allows me a leverage with a wedge and I hammer and lo, I actually move that bearing back into its original position.
Oh, nice.
I mean, these are hard problems to solve and you go down the road to solve them. You're not sure that it's going to work. So when I saw the bearing move, I was super, super chuffed. I felt very accomplished, right? Like I had solved this intractable problem. And so I get the bearing back, I check operation, I start to put the machine back together, and I'm like, now I'm feeling good. It's like 3 o'clock on a Friday. Man, I got two or three more hours in the shop. I'm going to clean this puppy up. So I plug it, I turn the power back on, I start cleaning it up, and now I'm taking like a wire brush on the lead screw and getting rid of all the dust. And I take a piece of cloth and I'm putting it around one of the lead screws.
Oh, Jesus.
And the cloth gets caught and it pulls my hand in between two lead screws.
You're lucky you have a finger still.
And I had a a very short, Will, there was a period of time before it dragged my hand in that I knew that that was the likely outcome. And I will tell you that.
Yeah. Left hand. Left hand? Right hand?
Left hand. Left hand.
Oh, okay. That's good, at least.
There was a moment, and I actually talked to my wife about it last night. And I haven't talked about this a lot. The fear, because I've injured myself many times in my life. I've had lots of stitches. I've gone to the hospital many times. And every time you go, you feel a certain amount of shame and anger at yourself for the injury.
Well, you always can identify the mistake you made the moment you, like the moment after the mistake is too late. Yeah. You're like, this is a bad choice.
No, I mean, they're literally, if I was being filmed at the time, I believe I even went, no. I even did the reality denying sound.
I mean, it's extra scary because you were there by yourself. So if you'd gotten stuck, you were in a real bind. So...
My hand is being pulled towards the machine. And I'm like, I could lose my whole hand. I have no idea what's about to happen. And this is the worst thing that I've ever been party to. And I
really,
I
this is worse than the upside down car, you think?
Yeah.
Wow. Lathes are terrifying. Lathe is the thing that scares me more than anything else in your shop, except for maybe that disc grinder, which can really chuck something across the room if you're not careful.
But I'm working on a part that's only spinning at like 40 RPM. It's not a terrifying speed, and that's like a bandsaw. It's deceptive about how safe you are being near it, and. To be honest, over the past 3 days, I've had, and it's mostly at the end of the night when I'm like trying to fall asleep, I've been flashing to that moment of the here it goes. And that feeling, that adrenaline rush of total terror. Am I going to lose a finger? And worse, does that mean I have to go to an ER at this moment in time? I'm the asshole that's going to suck up their time with this dumb mistake and then make myself exposed, which means instantaneously I'm going to have to camp out here at the cave for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And like wave to my wife and my mom and my house. Like everything about this is terrible.
If I brought my mom here and then was like, well, honey, I'm going to be out of the house for the next 14 days. That might be a divorce. Like my mom and my wife get along really well, but 14 days is a long time. So how'd you get out of it? What happened?
So I'm being pulled towards it. And survival mechanism, I yank my hand and my hand comes out. And now I experience the second moment of total terror. And please understand, it's taken me all weekend to work up the courage to talk about this. I didn't want to talk about it. I didn't want to share this story because I still feel a fresh amount of shame and fear over it. Like it's like hurting your body and carving up your body is awful.
I mean, the mistake isn't making the mistake. You don't need to be ashamed. Everybody makes mistakes. The mistake is,
I know
the thing don't is it's only a mistake if you don't learn from it. Right. I know somebody smart said that.
Totally. And yet that feeling at the fresh feeling right afterwards is real. So I pulled my hand out and now I experience the second moment of terror, which is the inspection. How bad is it going to be? So I hold my hand up and, Will or Norm, would either of you like to see what I was looking at?
Yeah. No. Send it. Send me the picture. Oh, it can't be that bad or else you wouldn't have taken the picture. Right.
Exactly. Right. You had the wherewithal to get your phone out with your right hand.
I take a picture of every single injury. This is by far the worst injury I have ever sustained in a time.
Okay, here we go. Okay.
For audio listeners, Adam is texting Will.
I have the text. I'm going to open it right now.
Yeah.
I've seen worse. That's pretty fucked up, though.
Well, let me tell you, if I bent my finger, I was looking at my joints and my tendons.
Oh, I have. There's a lot of meat there.
I unbuttoned the front suit of my finger is what I did.
The zigzag is the bad thing there. And you can see the fat and all the connective tissue under there. Yeah, that's real bad. I'm a little scared that you didn't go to the doctor on this one because there's a lot of this is a stitch situation for sure.
Oh, yeah. No, that's 20 or 30 stitches right there.
Did you do them or did you just seal it up and call it a day?
Let me get on with my story.
Okay.
Before we continue on with the show, I want to let you know that support for Still Untitled comes this week from Microsoft Surface, introducing the new Microsoft Surface Laptop 3. With its beautiful touchscreen, you'll experience stunning graphics with razor-sharp resolution. Now available with a 13.5 or 15-inch screen. And with the latest processors, there's no project the Surface Laptop can't handle. It's both light and powerful, so you can get more done on the go. Visit surface.com/laptop3 to learn more. That's surface.com/laptop3. Now back to the show.
Like, okay, just to be clear, I'm not a doctor, not a medical professional. From first aid stuff that I've done over the years, that is 99% of people, I would say, yeah, you need to go to the doctor right now when you see.
Oh, no. That is so in every injury in a shop, there is when you go to inspect the wound, the question you're asking isn't how bad is the wound, it's how much is this going to change my day, week, month, right?
Or life.
And sometimes it's a fence post. Should I go get stitches? Shouldn't I? And I've had, like, I cut myself on a bandsaw about 10 years ago. And the second I did it, I'm like, hospital. I knew without even looking at it that this was a hospital visit. This one, 100%, this is a hospital visit. This is totally stitch worthy. But again, at this moment in time, I don't want to get around doctors. Well, I don't want to waste their time. I don't want to expose myself.
I was going to say, this is the threshold for, do I take a picture of this before I have to sit down? Right.
Well, like, so this is the other thing is, and I've talked about this, I have a fainting reaction when I cut my hands specifically. I often faint. And so being very cognizant of that, I tightened up my core, my solar plexus to keep blood in my head. And I called my mom. I knew my wife was actually working. I knew she was doing her job. And my mom was at the house, and I knew Fridays she does not see patients. My mom is a psychotherapist who's been seeing her regular patients on the phone. And I knew that she was not working, so I called her. I'm like, wow, I'm calling my mommy. How about this? So I called her, and I'm like, hey, could you come to the shop? And she's like, yeah, is everything okay? And I'm like, yeah, just come to the shop. So about 10 minutes later, she arrives. And all I'm doing at that point is irrigating it. I have medical saline, I have iodine, and I have hydrogen peroxide, and I'm spraying it down, cleaning the rest of my hands. I got towels out, I got toilet paper out, I got all the things that I need, and I'm just making sure that this cut is as clean as I can possibly make it.
Wait, and it's the inside, right? It's the inside.
It's the inside.
The
it's right there.
You didn't waste any toilet paper on your damn hand, did you, Adam? That stuff's more precious than gold.
So, just as I finish irrigating it, my mom shows up, and I open the door, and this is traditionally the moment when I'm going to faint. It's like, once I've taken care of getting some help, that's often when I, boom. So I see her, I give her a hug, I bring her into the bathroom and say, I need you to be here with me. And my mom says, yeah, you need to eat something. And she gets me an energy bar.
Yeah, that sounds
She's
good.
Great. Her father was a surgeon. She knows. And then she gets me a Snapple. She's like, drink this whole Snapple. And this is perfect. I did.
I love your mom. Food. Your mom is so good.
She was fabulous. And I didn't let her see it. I didn't, you know, you don't want to see your kid's thing. You don't want to see your kid's injury.
No.
And so this was a cut that was completely addressable with butterfly closures.
Okay. I mean, it's bad, but it is not. Yeah,
it's bad.
As long as you watch and make sure it doesn't get infected, it'll be fine.
That's the thing, and there's no infection. It's been every day. It's a little bit better. It's a little more movable. I have no nerve damage, shockingly, anywhere on the finger. I know. It's on the inside, which means that when I bend my finger, I'm not opening the wound at all. So it's in every way, it's an ideal placement of a cut that you might not want to go to the doctor for.
Yeah. It's a one in a million shot, Adam.
Did looking at it on your phone or through the viewfinder of your phone distance you from the reality of it when you were taking a picture?
Just a tad. Look, I also have sutures here, and I considered suturing myself up.
a bad idea. It's always, unless you're Mark Watney or you're in Australia, Antarctica or something, that's always a bad idea.
The thing is that to me, it is the last resort. Like, yeah. It is the last resort. I just don't know how I'm going to do. I'm going to have to go. I've got hemostats here. I've got everything I need to sterilize and set it up. But in my own skin, I just couldn't be sure I wasn't going to vomit or throw up. And I'm not sickened by looking at pictures of my injuries. And blood doesn't make me ill, but I just didn't know how I was going to respond. In fact, so I called Tom Sachs that night, and he was like, "Did you stitch it up?" And I'm like, no, I didn't do it.
I love Tom. But Tom's the best.
I've been doing butterfly closures. I've been redressing the outside every day. I redid the butterflies once. And yesterday I actually had the situation where the coagulation happened into the bandage. So I had to do a lot of trimming and stuff to get it away. And now I put a new skin on it. Okay. And that should keep me from bonding with my own bandages. Basically, it's doing stunningly. And I can actually move this. I have most of the movement of this hand, and it has been remaining protected. And I know this looks filthy, but inside it's all really nice and clean.
Did you do you have a status update picture for me? Can I see what it looks like today? Or are you taking
yes,
daily pictures?
You can.
I'm taking daily
pictures. Okay, so the second pic I'm gonna send you. Okay. There's two pics. One is day two, and the last pic is day three.
The little bathroom lobster in the background really sells this, just to be clear. Like the background. That? The bathroom. Oh yeah, it looks a ton better. The one where it's facing up is day two, and the one where it's facing down is day three.
Facing down is day two. Facing up is day three, and it's really closing up well.
Yeah, it looks good. Well, you're really lucky you didn't get your ring finger with that ring on. I don't know if you have the ring on
every
day.
Everything about this, I am a lucky man, yeah. And I feel very guilty. I have survival guilt about surviving.
I mean,
so I actually just shot a piece for Tested about it, Norm, on my phone. I'll send you this and we can cut it together. Because look, it's instructive. Whenever I have complicated feelings around something to do with shot practice, I figure it's reasonable to shoot something about it.
I mean, this is stuff that everybody with a shop faces, right? Norm and I have a mutual friend who got really excited about woodworking, and he bought some chisels and he started doing stuff by hand. And he was like, "I'm going to go take some classes." And he went to a woodworking shop near him, and he walked in there and he was talking to the old timers who were hanging out, and they were like, "Oh yeah, we do lessons on Thursdays." And he started counting fingers in the room, and there's all these guys that have been doing woodworking stuff for 40, 50 years, and all of them are missing at least one knuckle. And he's like, "I'm going to stick with the chisels. The chisels seem good."
Yeah, it's part of every shop, and it's part of working in a shop. And, you know, when I tweeted the story on Saturday, somebody tweeted back, every injury they've had was during reassembly because it's when their guard is down. And that makes complete sense.
Yeah.
Tracks to me.
Oof. Well, I'm glad it's okay. Keep track. Oh. You know, keep up on it, Adam. That you're a lucky man.
And you know, I'm well prepared. I have tons and tons of first aid equipment. I'm very grateful that I'm a kind of secret prepper. Now public.
Yeah, I think we're all preppers now. The thing that scares me about the lathe more than anything is getting sucked into it. You know, because we all wear hoodies and stuff like that all the time. And just like when that thing's going, if you get pulled in there, it's the scariest thing in the world, I think.
So. Oh, God. Yeah, yeah. No, I used to know this crazy artist named Barry Schwartz, the animal. His nickname was Animal. And Barry, at one point, had this exposed patch on his scalp. And I was like, "What happened?" He's like, "Oh, I was using the drill press, and his hair got caught in the drill press."
Oh, Christ. Yeah. Ow. Yeah. Ow. Norm, how are you doing? How are you holding up?
I was just
going
to say,
this is a lot for Norm.
I will enjoy the Tested comments of everyone sharing their terrifying, awful shop injury stories. How's it going, Norm?
Great now. Yeah, my life feels so much better.
Yeah. Content warning those pictures, please, when you post them.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not posting them.
I mean the people in chat, in comments. Oh, they always do.
Thing one and thing two, both the boys wanted to see pictures. My wife did not, although she did ask to take a look at it when I was redressing it just to reassure herself, and it looks great.
You're having somebody else smell it since your nose is stopped up, I hope, right?
Yeah, it could not be healing better. I'm really good at taking care of the injuries in my hands and making sure they're infection free.
So are you just working on a bunch of one hand projects this week? What's going on in the shop there?
Actually, out of the frying pan into the fire, I've been working on the lathe today. mostly I had a second intractable problem, which is on the cross slide was sticking. And it turns out, within a cross slide of a lathe or a machine tool, you have a dovetail, and the dovetail keeps everything together, and you have screws that allow you to pressure that dovetail to have as little movement as possible. But there's also this long, I'm trying to remember what it's called, the gib arm or the gib, I'm terrible about this stuff, but there's a long tapered piece of metal along one side of the dovetail, and there are two screws on either side of it. And because it's tapered, it allows you to precisely adjust everything about the dovetail so that as it wears, you can increase the pressure and keep it at a constant pressure. And when I took apart the cross slide this morning, I found that one of my old shop assistants had, while working on the lathe, broken that cast iron long tapered piece, and it was floating, and it meant that I couldn't pull my cross slide out all the way. Luckily, he only cracked like the last half inch of it, which means that I figured out a way to actually reintroduce the adjustability that I need. And I literally just solved that problem about 5 minutes before this podcast. When we're done, I'm putting it all back together, and I'm going to go home and sleep.
What our lesson, and our lesson is, when you're putting it back together, you're even more careful than when you were taking it apart. Wow.
Exactly. No, it's yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. All I did was put together some baby gates in the house.
Oh. Yeah.
Very simple. By comparison.
He's mobile now, and so it's time to... Oh,
yeah. Climbing and... Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've been...
go ahead, Will.
I was just saying, I've been doing some Glowforge projects, and I'm building a robot to play board games. So that's my project for the downtime.
Oh, yeah,
it's
neat.
Been fun. Yeah.
I want to mention one thing, because we're getting toward the end. I did finish The West Wing. I don't know if you're continuing watching that, Adam.
We've now reverted to Aaron Sorkin and Tommy Schlamme's first show, Sports Night, and we're like a third of the way through season two now. And this is like, I think, the fourth time I've watched the entire run of that show.
There's only what, three or four seasons of that? It's short.
Two seasons, 23 episodes and 22 episodes. It's 45.
Doesn't seem long.
It's like 20 hours total to watch.
It's
the whole
so
thing.
Good. It's so good.
It's so good.
Yeah.
For West Wing and people who it's, you know, over 10 years old, the seventh season, I think it's fantastic. I think the introduction of some new actors, they bring in Kristen Chenoweth, who's wonderful and lovely. Jimmy Smits is in it. There's Hawkeye. John Goodman is just a cameo for a few episodes, but he is a great character.
Goodman he's there plays at the end Speaker of the House. Season. Yeah.
I don't want to spoil if you haven't seen the show, but it's one of those things that as we're getting close to the end of the series, like a lot of these ensemble shows, you grow with these characters or you've come to know them over 100 and something episodes and you really fall in love with them, and it's really hard to say goodbye. I don't know if it's like reading a book and you're getting to the last chapter or so. And especially, you know, like a show like Mad Men, right? You know, when you get the last season, you see how far someone like Peggy's gone, you know, Roger and everyone. And the last like three or four episodes, you're like kind of savoring every scene because they're wrapping up all the stories and you're finding out. You'll never know where these characters are after the show ends. That, you know, the door is closed to your window, right?
Yeah.
Into their world. And The West Wing does something interesting where in the beginning of the last season, the very opening scene of season 7 is a flash forward to 3 years later. And so they give you this tiny 5-minute glimpse into 3 years later
as to who's married, who lives where. And so you get that little peek into where they are. And it's very, if you're a sentimental person.
Do Donna and Christian Slater end up together? That's what I want to know.
No. They don't. They are not OTP. They're not the one true pairing. Yeah, okay. She is shipped with someone else. But we finished the series. And the fun thing for me, though, is when I started it, I started on season 2.
Yeah.
Danica, who's a big fan of the show and has seen it dozens of times, started me on season 2, which is it's the cliffhanger assassination attempt on Bartlett and on Charlie. Yeah. And it's where Josh Lyman, Bradley Whitford, gets shot.
So you started with the last episode of season 1?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
And watched 6 seasons, essentially. But what was really fun is that now I have this entire season 1 that I have not seen. And I get to go back and watch what's essentially a flashback, the way I'm experiencing it. And everyone's a baby. And I get to see where the characters
were all formulated. So young.
And where the actors haven't really locked into their portrayals of the characters, like Toby, there are essences of Toby there and mannerisms that become his character. And it's a real fun way to watch this show because it's all, for me, almost like bonus material.
Oh my God. What a great gift Danica gave you and setting it up like that. That's amazing.
And it's okay. And it's something that I think if you watch Mad Men, you could get away with, or The West Wing, or Star Trek.
Yeah, I mean, it works for a lot of stuff. Yeah.
You could start on the second season, and the first couple episodes, you're still going to be wondering, who is this person? I mean, they reference something from early season. You'll get through it, but then when you come back, it is really, because you're the most emotionally invested by the end of the show.
And
for so often, you finish a show, and you're like, that's it. I feel this hole in me now that I can't go back to that universe, but I have this gift of 22 episodes of revisiting it with zero consequence, and it's chicken soup.
Well, and it's one of those things.
Plus, after 3 seasons of non-Sorkin writing, you go back to the OG Sorkin writing.
It's all Sorkin, exactly.
Well, I mean, there's a thing that West Wing did that, like, a lot of shows miss. You know, the second year, a lot of times with a sequel or a second season, the people who are making the show and the people who are watching the show like to completely different things about, like, feel like the thing that's important are two completely different things. And West Wing didn't West Wing landed that pretty well, but like Lost is a classic example of like that second season being not exactly what the first season was, what I liked about first season.
So apparently, from what I understand of some of the inside baseball in Lost, that was also because within the structure of the people putting the show together, there were disagreements about whether season to season, there were disagreements about whether it was a soap opera or a science fiction drama.
Right.
And some seasons, one of those won, and other seasons, another one won. My big takeaway from watching West Wing is how terrible men's fashion was back then.
Now,
all those gigantic suits, everyone looks like David Byrne.
They did a lot of politicians notoriously not great dress, especially political aides.
Josh Lyman in those big unconstructed jackets, when he would look terrific in a 3 button. He's sitting there with all this like ridiculous extra material and high waisted pants and skinny waist. Just terrible.
Toby's high pants, man.
You got to see Peter Krause's high pants in Sports Night. It's hilarious.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
I haven't watched that since it was on originally. I need to go back and watch again. I think we have DVDs someplace.
Dude, Sports Night hits the ground running so hard. It's so great. I've been meaning to go back and like your first season revisit, Norm. Just before Sports Night aired in 1998, the New Yorker did a profile of Aaron Sorkin because they suspected this was going to be a big deal. And so you can read about the difficulties he was having with the network, trying to make a new kind of show, the battle about the laugh track and all of that stuff. So I've been meaning to go back to the New Yorker site and reread that article now that we're making our way through the second season.
Awesome.
Well,
I do want to take a moment to shout out some resources. I know we get a lot of questions, and we have been getting questions on social media about places that if you have a 3D printer, for example, that you can help, because there are some great resources. And we've been inundated with a lot. You know, there's so many different great groups working on their own solutions.
And these are solutions for ventilator parts, but also face shields and other personal protection equipment that doctors and nurses are asking for. Some people are sewing masks. Some people are using soda bottle PET plastic with 3D printed visor stuff that fit existing pieces. Yeah, there's a ton of amazing ingenuity and creation going on.
And with that also a lot of risk, because there's not a lot of validation happening, because things are happening so quickly as to how safe things are to use. I want to point out Matter Hackers. They're a retailer based in Southern California who sell 3D printer filament, and we're good friends with them. But they've put together a really good hub where people with 3D printers, and whether they're printing in PLA or PTG, can print PPE equipment. So face shields is the primary thing. And also they're connecting those people with the healthcare workers and facilities who may want those. If you just go to matterhackers.com, the top link for COVID-19, that's right there. Prusa 3D, they're the maker of the 3D printer, very popular one, very good one. They have a great design for a face shield. It's a mount for a face shield. You have to pair it with a laser cut shield, but that's what that's linked as well. And then there's a website, getusppe.org. That's getusppe.org, and that's also connecting people. These are six great hubs as resources.
We had Kishore on the Tech Pod this week to answer questions, people's questions about coronavirus, and we talked about everything from like how to maintain your home quarantine and how to like how to handle groceries and how to handle packages that come in, to, you know, questions like how long do we think this is going to last and how long are we going to be maintaining like socially distancing versus sheltering in place.
Yeah.
And we talked through all of that at techpod.content.town.
Awesome. And even if you don't have access to equipment, you know, there are plenty of places you can donate directly to families in need. And so you can go to givedirectly.org. That's a great place where you can, again, just, if you just want to use PayPal and donate, it's all very appreciated.
Food banks need a ton of help right now.
Yeah.
A lot of local support stuff needs a ton of help wherever you happen to be. So anything you can do is good. But if you can't do anything, just stay home, please. That's all you have to do.
Your civic duty is staying home.
Sit Netflix and chill, man, all the time. That's all you have to do.
Read some books. We should find some books to read. We should
pick out
a book and...
I can't read.
Why can't you?
I just don't have the attention span. I haven't been able to read. I have like three books on my bedside table. What am I saying? I have like a dozen, but I have three that I'm actively trying to read. And I read like two pages and I'm like, I can't do it. It's my motivation also for making stuff has also been really low, which is why I'm fixing tools here. And I'm going to shoot something this week that talks to that. Again, because I think it's an interesting practice. I think it's an interesting question, and I want to kind of unpack it a little bit.
The attention span while reading thing is definitely something that's happened to me that has literally never happened in my life. Like, there's never been a time I couldn't pick up a book and get lost in it. And it's newfound anxiety finding new ways to fuck you, I think.
Well, and I think that's the biggest thing is the recognition about how much the stress and anxiety are wearing upon us. And, you know, I've talked a lot about when I stopped drinking seven or eight years ago as part of the stress management of hosting Mythbusters and producing it. I've had a lot of time to inspect my own stress and see how it changes my reactions and my wellness. And in this moment, like, to me, getting my 7.5 to 8 hours of sleep every night is so important. If I miss the mark, I'll have a nap in order to make sure it's up to date, because it's the best thing you can do for your immune system is do everything you can to lower your stress level.
Yeah. For me, activities that require full concentration are incredibly helpful. Like, just stuff that, whether we're playing a board game with Gina or working on a laser project or something like that, something that requires full attention is so precious to me right now. And it lets that stuff go away.
Yeah.
So,
all right.
But I will try and read this week, Norm, so we can talk about.
yeah. Let us know what you're reading. We'll talk about it next week. And then, you know, we'll be doing this for at least a couple more weeks. And maybe we can pick a book and share with people out there.
Book club.
And
finally do that third episode of the Three Body Problem.
Hey, that's right. Oh. Read Dark Forest. And
I don't know if I can make it through 1,000 pages of Xi Shan Li.
Wait, I've been working on this. We should pronounce it. We should speak it the other way. Liu.
Oh, Liu Xishan.
Xishan, right. It's the TS in the front and the Xishan, right? Please, Chinese speakers, correct me because I love this author so much. I want to make sure I am saying his name correctly. Liu Xishan. Tell me how well I did.
And on that note, we'll see everyone next week. Hope everyone stay safe, stay indoors, wash your hands.
Yeah.
And
be gentle with each other. We're all packed in like sardines and it's intense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not just physically, emotionally, psychologically, all of the above. And share some pictures, stories of your own workshop injuries. all right, Adam. I think this is going on Tuesday. You might be doing a live stream.
Doing a live stream today from 1 to 3 p.m. And I think I may be taking some questions this time.
Ooh.
Yeah. Cool. That'll be fun. It is delightful, as always, to see your guys' faces, even if it's only
always
on video.
A pleasure. Yeah.
All right.
Have a good week, guys. See you all next week. Bye,
Thanks, everybody.
Bye.